Facebook pages, Twitter accounts, and Instagram pictures. And what's wrong with that? He glanced at me and then back to her. Because somebody's going to shoot that wolf, and it always has a negative effect when people start looking at large predators as Fluffy the dog next door. Vic made a face. So somebody's going to shoot him? Most assuredly. Because he might have killed a sheep? Which, by the way, was not confirmed by your own lab's DNA testing. He raised his hand in surrender. Yes. Not because he nibbled on the shepherd? Ferris took a sip and then rested the tumbler on his blotter. Surprisingly, in the eyes of the federal and state government, that's less of an issue. Well, in the eyes of the denizens of Absaroka County, it's not. I took the glass back from my undersheriff. Evidently, there are hordes of wolves preparing to descend out of the Bighorn Mountains and run rampant through the streets of Durant. He shook his head. Have these people ever checked the statistics to see what the odds are of a wolf attack on human beings? Somehow I doubt it. In modern history, in the contiguous United States, we've had 2 deaths by wolves, and in both cases, the animals were habituated to the point of not being afraid of people. Wolves generally know better than to associate with human beings in that it's always going to end badly for the wolf. It's a case of humans perpetuating a campaign of selective breeding. Over the centuries, bold wolves are killed, and the more timid animals survive. So, if you even see one in the wild, it's quite an accomplishment. Vic took the glass back and finished it off with one slug. How about Larry? Captain looked at her, then me, then her again. Excuse me? The wolf. How about we call him Larry? Carrying the sawed-off shotgun through the Durant home for assisted living didn't raise much of a response from the staff. Lucian Connolly had had visitors bearing firearms before. Stopping at his door, I reached down, ruffled the hair behind dog's ears, and looked at Vic. Why Larry? KYW back in Philadelphia used to have this chiller theater show on Saturday nights, and as a kid I was an avid viewer. I looked at her, taking in her open flannel shirt and tight thermal she wore underneath just to distract the old sheriff. Okay. My Nana used to stay up with me, and we'd watch the movies and sleep on the sofa. I don't think she ever made it through a single one, but I felt better having her there. She reached down and petted dog's enormous head. They would show a triple creature feature. You know, 3 Frankenstein movies? Or 3 Dracula movies? But my favorites were the Wolfman movies with Lon Chaney Jr. And his character was named Larry Talbot. I knocked on the door. There are times when I think I barely know you. There are times you're right. She reached up and pounded. You home, you old pervert? I glanced up and down the hallway in hopes that Lucian was the only one to receive the greeting. After a moment, the door opened and he stood there in a freshly ironed shirt, clean blue jeans, and polished Paul Bond boots, his silver hair combed and parted. I'd told him Vic was accompanying me this evening. Entree, entree! He stepped back and ushered us in with a sweep of his arm. Dog shot into the room and jumped onto his favorite leather sofa. The place was spotless, and some sort of fragrant burbling was coming from a pot on the stove. I sat the shotgun by my usual chair. I'm sorry, we were looking for the apartment of Lucian Connolly. He ignored me and continued into the kitchen on his 4-pronged cane. Get in here and shut the damn door. He stirred the ingredients as we slipped off our jackets and piled them beside Dog, who was already stretched out, his head on his paws. What's for dinner? I had a friend drop off some elk tenderloin, and I used it to make what I consider to be one of the finest stews I've ever created. Looking over the chessboard, I could see the old sheriff had left it the same as it was last week when I'd been here, and I was worried that none of his other players had paid him a visit. Is that last week's game? He came in from the kitchen holding a bottle of Clos de l'Oratoire de Pape and an opener, which he handed off to Vic. He only drank wine when she accompanied me. It is. No other games this week? Nope. How come? All my opponents are either dead or too senile to play anymore. So you're stuck with me? Vic expertly pulled the cork on the red and handed the bottle back to him. She wandered toward the sliding glass doors and stretched her arms upward. And me? He allowed his eyes to linger on her, and I couldn't blame him. All 3 of you. He petted Dog and tottered back into the kitchen to collect the wine glasses and, returning, handed them out to me. So what are you going to do about this wolf situation you got in your hands? I extended a glass, he poured, and then I handed it off to Vic. There is no wolf situation. That ain't what's in the papers. He glugged another for me, a technique that would have appalled the vintners. What came over you, giving out with statements like that? I was misquoted. Pouring one for himself, he raised a glass. Here's to the Fourth Estate. After the three of us touched glasses, he looked thoughtful. What the hell are the other three estates, anyway? Edmund Burke, 1787, referring to the three estates of the realm in the European sense, the clergy, nobility, and commoners, but in the American sense, the legislative, executive, and judiciary branches, ceding power to the fourth, the press. Lucian shook his head. Drink up! Maybe we'll get some sense out of you before it's all over. His eyes lingered on Vic again. How the hell do you put up with him? She sipped her wine and sat on the sofa beside Dog. It's going to get worse. He's got a computer now. The old sheriff turned to look at me, appalled. The hell you say? I nodded. I haven't figured out how to turn it on, but when I do, I'm going to be hell on wheels. Saints preserve us. Anxious to change the subject, I remembered it being my turn and hooked in a knight from the left. So did you ever have any wolf problems back in the day? He studied my move and sipped his wine. Define the term problem. You know what I mean. Did I ever have a wolf problem? His eyes came back up, but paused when he noticed the weapon leaning beside his guest chair. Why, have these games become so competitive that you have to come armed these days? Reaching down, I picked up the old shotgun and tabled it in my outstretched hands, presenting it to him. You remember this weapon? He studied it up and down as Vic stood nearby with a smile playing on her lips. Can't say that I do. It's the one that cost you your leg. He stared at it. You're shitting me. He took it, and I watched as he swung it up and stared at it almost as closely as if I'd handed him the leg they'd cut off all those years ago. I'll be damned. Look familiar now? He shook his head, unbelieving. Well, I only saw it for a few seconds back in the day, and by then it was far too late. He studied it some more. I thought it was a 12-gauge. 20. He nodded. By God, that night it took off my leg, it looked like a bazooka. He studied it a bit more and then raised his dark eyes to look at me. Remington Model 11, Widowmaker, the Dillinger gun. This little booger was easier to saw off and made it the go-to weapon for motorized bandits back in the dirty 30s. Along with those new N-block V8 engines, those old boys were hard to run down. Hell, this gun alone is probably responsible for the National Firearms Act of 34. No silencers, machine guns, or anything sawed off. He studied the thing, running his hands over the metal. You're sure this is the one? Pretty sure. Where'd you get it? I bought Rania Chapare. Found it under one of the lambing sheds on his father's summer place. He says it was in pretty bad shape and probably had been lying under there since the act. Lucian raised the shotgun and sighted it on the mule deer mount on his wall just above my head, and I could see how a man could be intimidated by it. I'll be damned. He also said something else interesting about who it was that actually shot you. He said to give that to you and see if the statuary limits had run out yet. The old sheriff lowered the weapon but continued looking at it. Belton was the older of the two, bigger and tougher than his little brother. He sipped his wine. It took me a couple of weeks to get out of that damn hospital, but when I did, I went looking for him. When I caught up with him, it was down in the Middle Fork on the Powder River near the Outlaw Cave. They didn't know what county they was in, and I ain't so sure I did either. They had a sheep camp and a little dugout no bigger than a walk-in closet. He reached out and stroked the pebbly finish of the shotgun astride his knees. They'd been down there hiding out for a month. He shook his head. Now just imagine how tough you had to be out there living in a hole in the ground. Vic held out an empty glass to him, and he picked up the bottle to refill her before setting it at the edge of the table. They knew I was coming, but they didn't have a weapon between them. Belton come out empty-handed, and if there's ever been a man I faced that was certain he was going to die, it was him. His eyes fell to the board and tightened, attempting to seize those fleeting moments when just one mistake might mean the end of your life. I had my 38 out and pointed at him, as he stood there between the doorway of that old dugout and me, and said he understood if I wanted his life for what they'd done, but that if I could see fit to just blow off an arm or leg and leave his head attached, he sure would appreciate it. Vic laughed. Lucian cocked his head and smiled. Honest to God, that's what he said. Then what? I asked him where his brother was, and I told him I wasn't going to ask twice, and that's when Jake's come out of the dugout, also empty-handed. I sipped my wine and waited. I told Beltran to step aside, but he didn't. He just stood there between me and his brother, who had those spooky blue eyes, starts telling me that one of the last things he promised his mother was that he'd take care of his little brother, and he didn't see any way out of it now. He said, you know how it is down there in Rawlins, Lucian. They'll eat him up and spit out a half man if he survives. And he was right. That was back in the day when that place was rough, brother. So anyway, he says, why don't you just send me down there, or whatever's left of me, when you get done, and we'll call it even. We waited for a long while as he seemed lost in his thoughts. And finally, Vic stood and went into the kitchen to stir the stew as a relief from the tension or to provide even the smallest bit of privacy, as Lucian looked out the windows at the darkness. Think about that. Giving up years of your life for somebody else. Vic came back out and stood there, leaning against the wall with a ladle in her hands. You let him take his brother's place? He glanced back at her. Once. She studied him. Excuse me? His eyes came back to mine. Had a wolf problem once at Oncat Creek. They just started putting collars on those things. And if you shot one, you might as well have shot Spiro Agnew. They had a specialist who said they had a wolf out of the park, but that something must be wrong because their telemetry said that wolf was headed across South Dakota. And the last they heard, it was just outside Chicago. So we call it in, and these Chicago PD boys head out to the last given location on a wolf hunt, and boy, I'd have paid money to witness that. What happened? He glanced back down at the shotgun. They found a dead wolf in a coal hopper where somebody had dumped it off an overpass. Why do you suppose he didn't want it? I glanced at the Remington Model 11 sitting on the floorboards. I don't know. Maybe it reminded him of things he didn't particularly want to remember. Why don't you come in? I pulled the bullet to a stop in front of the little craftsman house with the red door and Kisling. I can't. Dog and I need to go home every once in a while just to make sure the wildlife hasn't taken up residency. Like Larry? I said nothing, but she smiled. How about I go with you? I don't think I'm going to be that much fun. She studied me. You're sure you're all right? I think so. I took a deep breath and sighed. Just listening to Lucian got to me a little bit. Guess I see him over there at the home for assisted living, and I can't help but think that that's where I'm going to end up. She reached back to pet my companion.
Never. You've got Dog and me.
I smiled. Lucian likes being alone, Walt. He always has. I swear he likes company once a week when that granddaughter of his brings over a box of pastries, and that's it. And I like that. And more important, you have too many people who care about you. So if you're worried about being alone in your old age, I'd forget about it. They'd have to put a revolving door over at the home for assisted living. She reached across and placed a hand under my chin, putting it toward her and gently kissing me. There. Now go home and go to bed. Watching her get out and walk up to her tiny house, I made sure she was at the door before lowering the window so she could look back at me.
What?
I'm making sure Larry isn't here to attack you. She curtsied with the container of stew. Driving out of town to the rhythm of blinking caution lights, I couldn't help but think about my daughter and granddaughter so many miles away. I crossed under the overpass to I-25 and pulled into the Maverick gas station. As I filled my tank, I looked up at the moonlight reflecting off the mountains. I missed my daughter, but I really missed my granddaughter. The last time I'd seen her, Henry had come down from the res for a reunion with Katie, and the two of them fell into a lengthy conversation Laura and I went out for an abbreviated walk with partial carry. It was sunset, and we watched as the Bighorn Mountains turned a raging violet and then a more somber purple before darkening into blackened cutouts. I pointed. Mountains.
Mountains.
She reached for them, excited.
My mountains.
Yep. Your mountains. At the pump, I glanced back at the overpass and the inviting on-ramp that led south. I could just hop on the highway and be in Cheyenne in 5 hours. But I hadn't received any response from my first and only email, so... Hanging up the handle, I looked across the parking lot and could see an animated conversation going on inside the Maverick convenience store. A powerful-looking man in hiking pants and a fleece jacket appeared to be arguing with the attendant. I held a finger up to Dog and started across the lot, hoping that I could draw this confrontation to a quick close and get back on my way. When I pushed the door open, the man was leaning on the counter and yelling at the attendant in the de rigueur red vest, but he pulled back and stopped at the electronic tone that announced my entrance. I waited for him to turn around and look at me from under the brim of a North Face cap. What the hell do you want? I glanced at the employee behind the counter. Is there a problem? The customer stepped closer, and I noted he was smaller than me, but not by much, and looked to be in remarkable shape. I asked you what the hell you wanted. Well, first of all, I'd appreciate it if you'd lower your voice and change your tone. He leaned toward me. You got some kind of problem? That's what I'm trying to find out. Stepping to the side, I addressed the clerk again. Is there something going on here? He seemed relieved that I was there. His credit card didn't work, so he came in here, but I tried it, and it still didn't go through. The man pointed at the card machine, the jacket's horsehair zipper pull swaying with the effort. There's nothing wrong with that card. Run it again. I've tried it 4 times. Do you have another one? He threw his hands in the air. Look, pal, I don't know who you are, but I know people around here, and the local sheriff is a family friend. I stood there for a moment, letting that one settle. Is that so? Yeah. So if you don't want any trouble, you should just lay off. Really? He stepped forward, thrusting his face in mine. What, are you hard of hearing? Carefully opening my jacket, I pulled my badge wallet from my pocket and flipped it open, displaying the 6-point star for him. I'm a pretty good friend of the sheriff myself. The color kind of drained from his face as I put the hardware away and hiked my jacket back to incidentally reveal my Colt. How about you show me some ID so that we can all get acquainted? He glanced around, licking his lips, and then pointed at a black 4-door Jeep Wrangler with Colorado plates out by the pumps on the opposite side from mine. It's in my wallet out on the dash of my car. Reaching over and taking his credit card from the attendant, I handed it back and gestured toward the lot. Well, let's go take a look. Following him out to the vehicle, he began backpedaling a bit. So you're a deputy here in Absaroka County? Evidently he hadn't read the ID card that accompanied my badge very carefully. Something like that. Reaching the door, I watched as he took the wallet and pulled out his Colorado driver's license, handing it to me. Well, I do know the sheriff. I mean, he knows my family. I read aloud. Donald Lott? That's not the family name. The family here in Absaroka County, that is. I looked up at him. Echipari would be the family name here in county. And Abarane Echipari would be your father-in-law? He looked surprised and a little confused. Yeah. But how do you know? We sipped our styrofoam cups of coffee as his tank filled, courtesy of the Absaroka County Sheriff's Department Fleet Credit Card. He was embarrassed and not wanting to talk, but that was too bad because I did. I spoke with your wife, Jeannie, and she said you weren't driving up until this coming weekend. He watched the numbers go by as the tank filled. Anything better than making eye contact with me? I had a change in schedule. And what is it you do, Mr. Lott? IT for Western Banking and Trust down in Denver? I nodded, proud of having just learned the term. I can see why you aren't too excited about the sheep business. For the first time he smiled, placing an expensive-looking hiking boot onto the concrete of the pump island. Abe told you that?
said you and his daughter were less than excited about the prospect. The pump stopped, he hung up the handle, and turned to look in my general direction.
You ever work sheep?
I leaned on the fender of his car and shook my head.
Nope.
My family were cattle people. But I think the romance is about the same after you've done it for a couple thousand head. He turned and laughed.
I'm from Mississippi.
I didn't know anything about sheep, but I was trying to impress Jeannie. If I never see another sheep again in my life, it'll be too soon. Sounds like your wife pretty much feels the same way. Maybe worse. How about your son?
He froze up a bit, but then peeled the top in the cup of coffee I'd fronted him and took a sip.
Oh, he thinks it's a grand adventure every time he comes up here. He and your father-in-law seem close.
He nodded, keeping his nose in the cup.
They are. Maybe a little too close.
Meaning?
He sipped the coffee some more and then turned to look at me.
Look, Sheriff, I don't know how much you know about what's going on here.
I lowered my own cup and studied him back. Enough to know that you tried to hire a good friend of mine or me to kidnap your son. He expulsed a lungful of air and acted as if I'd hit him.
Now, wait a minute. It wasn't anything like that.
Then what was it like?
Look, I just wanted my son back. I didn't want it to turn into a big legal hassle, so I was talking to Libby Troon down in Cheyenne, and she said that she knew people up here that...
And if you don't mind my asking, how do you know, Libby?
My bank sometimes finds itself in situations when we need a bail bondsman, and in cases that concern Wyoming, it's often best to have one from in-state, and Liberty Bail Bonds fits the bill. Anyway, I was just venting to her, and she came up with the idea.
Libby did?
Yeah, but I don't want to get her into trouble or anything. She was just trying to help me.
Why didn't you simply contact my office?
He dipped a shoulder in a modified shrug. Jeannie said her family had a history with the sheriff's department up here and that it might not be for the best.
She also mentioned that you might have had some run-ins with the law.
She said that?
He paused for a moment.
Just some stupid stuff from back when I was a kid.
Good grief.
But then you were going to try and hire me to kidnap your child?
He shook his head.
I didn't know it was you. For goodness sake, if I was going to hire somebody for an illegal kidnapping, I wouldn't hire the local sheriff.
Tell me, is Libby Troon some kind of moron or what?
She can be...
I considered my word choice carefully.
Eccentric. I just wanted to get my son back. You can understand that.
I suppose so, but you can't go around kidnapping people and transporting them across state lines, even family. The law has some strong feeling about that kind of thing.
I know. Look, I apologize. It's just that I found myself in a difficult situation and was trying to find some way of solving the problem and made a few bad choices.
Okay. He stood there for a moment more.
You were out there at the ranch?
About the dead shepherd?
Yep.
That's horrible.
Did you know him?
I may have met him once, but I don't remember. Sometimes I'd ride along with the camp tender, Jimenez.
I know him, but the others, what with the turnover rate and the few times I saw any of them, are just a blur.
Any idea why he might have killed himself, or somebody might have killed him?
You serious?
He stared at me.
Somebody killed him?
You mean actually killed him?
It's a potential, and we're duty-bound to investigate all possibilities.
The murder thing, I have no idea, but you said maybe suicide?
Yep.
He crossed one muscled arm, hugging himself, and looked around, saying the next words carefully.
Well, Abe is kind of hard on those guys sometimes.
How hard?
Look, Sheriff, I don't know how much of this I should be talking about.
You don't have to talk about any of it.
He sipped the coffee. He beat on one of the shepherds one time while I was there. Practically beat him to death.
Miguel Hernandez?
No, this was years ago. I mean, he smacked the guy until he was trying to hide under the wagon and then went around kicking at him. I'd never seen anything like that in my life.
I sipped the last of my coffee and then tossed the cup in the trash can.
I suppose that has something to do with your concerns about your son?
Oh, I don't think Abe would ever hurt Liam. It's just, he's got a temper.
comes from a line of tempers, and that's just not something I'm acquainted with, if you know what I mean. Western Banking and Trust doesn't have a bare-knuckle Friday.
No,
not that it might not be a good idea. He sighed and then tossed the remains of his own cup into the trash. Will you excuse me for just a moment?
Sure.
I watched as he crossed the parking lot to re-enter the Maverick and speak with the clerk at length, and then I watched as the two of them left. They then shook hands, and he returned to where I stood.
Sorry, just something I needed to do.
No problem. I watched as he climbed in the Jeep and fired it up. You still owe the Absaroka County Sheriff's Department $43.42.
Oh, shit.
He started fumbling for his wallet on the dashboard.
I can write you a check?
I waved him off. Just drop it at my office sometime. I'll be interested in how the meeting with your father-in-law goes. I glanced around. It's getting kind of late. I'm thinking you should maybe grab a motel room rather than drive all the way out there tonight. He nodded.
I agree.
Do you need a loan?
A broke banker. Pretty ridiculous, huh?
He flushed a little. I think I've got enough cash if I don't need to pay you back tonight.
That's fine.
He extended a hand.
Sheriff, please don't judge me too harshly for my behavior this evening.
I'm a little upset about my son, and sometimes the pressure of all of it just gets to me. Please accept my apology.
I shook the hand.
Certainly. He took a last look at me and then pulled the Wrangler into gear.
I just want to see my child, you know?
With that, he pulled out, making a U-turn and waving at the convenience store attendant, and then wheeling across the street to the Best Western as I started for my truck and dog, my eyes drifting back to the pool of light that illuminated the southbound ramp of I-25.
Yep, I do.
Chapter 8. It says I have a message. Ruby's voice trailed in from the outside office.
Well, then answer it.
How do I find it?
It should be right there on the left.